banks shake their moneymakers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. A lot of good news from big banks this morning. Wells Fargo announced its third quarter profit nearly doubled. It earned more than $3 billion between July and October. U.S. Bank Corp saw profits jump more than 4%. That was thanks mostly to its mortgage banking operations. And Morgan Stanley posted its first quarterly profit of the year. If there's one thing Wall Street loves, it's banks making money. All the markets are up today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 0.75% to 10,113. The NASDAQ up 0.1% to 2188. The S&P 500 up 0.9% to 1101. Not everyone is making money, though. Evidently, Joe Q taxpayer stands to lose a whole lot of it. A Treasury Department watchdog says taxpayers, we, probably won't get our money back from the $700 billion Troubled Asset Relief Program. TARP's Inspector General Neil Barofsky issued the report. It said TARP should be more transparent. The program, you may remember, was originally created to buy up toxic assets from banks. TARP ended up invested in nearly 700 banks and bailing out the auto industry. The report said TARP did prevent a financial sector meltdown, but hasn't done much to change Wall Street's risk-loving ways. Big banks got some flack from the other side of the pond, too. The head of the Bank of England, Mervyn King, called for the breaking up of big banks in the UK. Here to talk about that with us is our very own Stephen Beard in London. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Stace.
What exactly did King say?
Well, King is very critical of the way the banks have been bailed out here. They've been given by the taxpayers in one way or another $1.6 trillion. That's close to two-thirds of the UK's entire annual output. Yet in return, the banks have not reformed. In a speech last night, in an ironic twist, King parodied Churchill's famous wartime speech, which paid tribute to the few, the handful of heroic Spitfire pilots who won the air battle over Britain in World War II.
Never in the field of financial endeavour has so much money been owed by so few to so many. And one might add, so far, with little real reform.
So, Stephen, what specific reform is King calling for?
Well, King says that the bailout has, in effect, sent the wrong signal to the banks. And it's this: take whatever risks you like. You're too big to fail. The taxpayers will always bail you out. So King is floating an old American idea, the Glass-Steagall idea. Split the banks into utilities and casinos. On the one hand, boring, steady banks that handle all the core business of banking, payments and so on. And on the other, the racy, risky, bonus-fueled investment banks. Then you can guarantee the utility banks with taxpayers' cash, but not the investment banks. If they get into trouble, tough luck, let them fail.
What effect are these remarks having? Will anything change in the British banking system?
Well, his remarks contradict British government policy and actually US government policy, come to that. Both governments believe that tighter regulation and closer scrutiny are the way to go. But King is one of the world's most prominent central bankers. His is a very influential voice, and his remarks could well strengthen the hand of those in the US, like former US Fed Chairman Paul Volcker, who also argue that big banks should be split into utilities and casinos.
Stephen Beard in London, thank you.
Okay, Stace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com. And by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com.
The dollar is up a bit this morning. It's still about $1.50 to the euro, though. For us, that means some seriously expensive gelato. For Europeans, it means U.S. consumers buying less of their stuff. John Dimsdale reports.
Europeans complain the high-priced euro hurts their exports, and they're calling on the European Central Bank to put more euros in circulation to reduce their value. Fred Berkston at the Peterson Institute for International Economics calls the European concerns ridiculous.
Europe is not uncompetitive at these exchange rates. They are not even running a trade deficit. The U.S. is still running a huge deficit by comparison and must have a somewhat weaker dollar to balance our international position. So I don't have much sympathy.
Besides, Johns Hopkins economics professor Steve Hanke says those complaining politicians can't do much other than keep complaining.
Well, they can't do anything about it because the European Central Bank is independent.
He says if the European Central Bank did try to make the euro cheaper by flooding the market with them or lowering interest rates, the result would be out-of-control inflation. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
International aid agency Oxfam released a report today looking at the southeastern United States and the impact climate change could have on the region. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
The conventional wisdom goes that coastal inhabitants are worst hit when sea levels rise or hurricanes sweep in. But Oxfam America says that's not necessarily the case. Heather Coleman is a climate change policy advisor with the group.
What we found is that a place like Hilton Head, South Carolina, is actually less vulnerable to climate change because they have more resources to prepare for and cope with something like a hurricane.
Coleman says it's harder for inland towns like Iberia, Louisiana, to pick themselves up after extreme weather strikes.
Those are far more disadvantaged by poverty and other factors, and so they have less of an ability to prepare for and respond to something like hurricane-force winds.
Poorer residents can't always afford to protect their homes, and Spanish speakers don't always understand instructions. A quarter of the Southeast lives in poverty, she says, and many poor communities are located in areas prone to flood, drought, or both. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
A survey out this morning from Harris Interactive rates the most stressed out U.S. cities. Topping the list, Chicago. Followed by Houston, Boston, and Los Angeles, Chicagoans said financial pressure was the leading cause of their stress. Well, that and being a Cubs fan. In Los Angeles, go Dodgers. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.